Welcome to the podcast, guys. Real Heads Podcast. I'm here with Ian. Ian is here.
As always.
One of these days, I'm going to look over and I'm going to be like, I'm here with Ian, and it's gonna be an empty chair.
It's just going to be your dog.
Ian's going to turn into the dog.
Dog the bounty hunter.
Ian the dog, the bounty hunter, the dog Ian.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast, guys. This is going to be filmed on Halloween, so happy Halloween.
Have a happy.
But when it comes out, it's not going to be Halloween. So sorry about that.
No.
Sorry. It's not Halloween. We're going to be talking about the substance today. The substance. It's a very interesting film. It's directed by Coralie Farget.
I would say it's Farget.
I feel like it's Farget because it's French, and it's like Farget. Spelled like Farget. No, it's not Giat. It's like Farget. Coralie Farget.
Sure.
Yeah. I hate mispronouncing people's names.
I did.
But phenomenal director, phenomenal movie. But we'll get into it. She is known for her movie Revenge from 2017.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's a visceral movie. It's a thriller. If you
have you seen it?
No. And it has feminist themes, which, as you know from watching The Substance, also has
feminist themes
and visceralness.
Yes.
Yes. So, main cast, let's get to it. We've got Demi Moore, Margaret. I can't say names today. You got okay. Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, and Dennis Quaid as the three mains. This honestly a small cast. There's not a lot of speaking parts in this film. Small cast, but it works well. So Demi Moore plays Elizabeth Sparkle, who's a middle-aged media personality who really wants to maintain her youth as she's on the end cycle of her professional career. And Margaret Qualley plays Sue, who is the younger version of Elizabeth that is born through the substance.
We'll get into that more through spoilers.
Yeah. And then Dennis Quaid plays Harvey. Who is her, Demi Moore's, Elizabeth's sexist, weird boss.
Yes.
Who was very hilariously named Harvey. And I don't know.
I just thought about that. I was like, is that a nod to
a Weinstein-esque type?
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah,
possibly.
Probably.
Most likely.
Indubitably.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the concept and the themes of this film. So The Substance, basically about fitness icon Elizabeth, and you know how she's, you know, has this really interesting show. She's doing fitness aerobics type things, but she's kind of at the end of like her time.
Yeah,
you know,
well, she's not just a fitness icon; she's a former Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, you know, nominations and accolades galore. Like she's her, you know, she's up there. And you know, like that commentary is very interesting with this film of just like having someone who's a star, who's achieved so much, it's so highly revered. And then I think within like the first like couple minutes of the film, they instantly just take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take it away from her. She's just like, we need someone younger, someone hotter, someone fresher, someone new.
Yes.
You know, and like that theme of just like always out with the old and in with the new. But like when it comes to like people like that, it was very interesting. It's very interesting jumping into the film. How did you feel going in? Did you know what the theme of the movie was going to be about?
Not. You know, I don't think so 100%. I knew it was going to be horror. I knew it was going to deal with women's issues to an extent of them feeling like the older they get, the more less desirable type of thought process happens to set in.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly everything. I didn't see a trailer for this film, if that's what you're asking. So I didn't know much. I knew it was a horror film. I knew it had to do something with Demi Moore being desiring to be younger,
right?
Or at least desire some sort of that and achieving some sort of that in a way. So, no, not really. I kind of just went in blind to watch this movie, if that makes sense. So,
which is fine. I think going in blind to films can be a really fun experience as well. I think also there was this meta commentary to point out with Demi Moore and in relation to her character in this film. You know, because in the film, the character is basically an older actress who, to execs, you know, is past her prime, even though she's, you know, gorgeous, yeah, and talented. She looks right. Like, she's totally capable of continuing to do the job she's been doing. But in the eyes of these people, she's past her prime. And I think that was interesting to have Demi Moore play that character, being Demi Moore, someone who had a really, really just like amazing early career, you know, and just career in general, but like definitely like, and when we talk about like some of like the Sydney Sweeney types of today, you know, those women that are acting in roles and doing phenomenal jobs, but like the media sees them almost as a little bit kind of like as these like more sexual people or sexual like actors or whatever. Yeah. It's very weird and a slippery slope that when people kind of make these weird connections with actors, but it is interesting to point out that Demi Moore was that as well, you know. Yes. when in her career, and then, you know, obviously she gets older, so I wonder how cathartic this role had to have been for her to play someone who is diving into that portion, yeah, of the women experience.
Yeah.
You know, of like always having to worry about being replaced by the younger, hotter version of yourself. And I also, you know, want to also point out and show some love and respect to this director, because I love the fact that this movie was written and directed by a woman. I feel like this kind of story needs to be told that way. It's just, that's just it. Like, it needs to be told that way. And I think that when you dive into some of like the more intimate and like and revealing scenes of this film, it's nice because you can think about it, and also when you watch it, you can see how much of a different perspective and level of care was put into those scenes, knowing that it was, you know, shot and directed by a woman at the helm, you know. Mm-hmm. Like she knows like more so probably than a man would what's gonna cross that line of something, mm-hmm, that becomes a bit too much like male gratification and like, yeah, objectifying, even though part of the themes of this movie does kind of like coincide with male gaze and male objectification. It's just, yeah, the viewpoint, the lens of which she told that story from, it doesn't put men in the driver's seat of this tale. And I love that. You know, you watch this film and it's like, like as a man, you watch this film and you're definitely a passenger. You're a backseat passenger, dude. You're probably the trunk, but like it's very nice to still be witness to what's happening here.
Yes.
And to get to have those conversations with other women as well as to what this movie meant to them and how it spoke to them.
Yeah. I felt like that was kind of, with Dennis Quaid's character and like all those other like kind of schemey, like ugly, whatever you want to call them, men that was in there who are all the Hollywood execs, you know, it was always like a point of view from her end of, mm-hmm, watching them, of talking with them. So it just kind of was like, anytime they were on the scene, I just was like, oh man, I don't want to be like even really talking with them or anything. Like,
right,
they're just so shady. So that's a good point of bringing that up. But
right. So getting a little bit into how, like what happens in this film. So it's called The Substance. The Substance being this goo serum that you inject into your body. And you're basically entering into a contract with yourself and your other version of yourself to swap places at equal intervals. And that's how, I guess, you get to live out the life that you never, or maybe you did, but the life that you wish that you were living out then. How did you feel about that whole plot point? Did you enjoy how they brought up the substance, how it got interwoven into the story? Do you feel like that idea lands within itself? You know, because you got to suspend a little bit of disbelief when watching it, because not, you know, it's the idea of it within itself isn't foolproof, but you know, it's still it's the driving force of the whole narrative.
I like the whole plot, the whole substance idea. I'm not that old, but I think that at my age, is almost being 30, I like would like to think that I have a pretty firm grip and like understanding of who I am at this age or at any age. Though there are some times that I will sit there and reflect on some older versions and older life, like younger life experiences. But the original of like, would I like, is your question of like, would I take it, or what was your original question again?
No, not would you take it, but like, just how did you feel about
of that, the substance point
of the substance in general? Like, what were your thoughts on just that?
Yes.
As okay. Its own thing?
Okay. It was kind of saddening. In my own personal opinion of like, you know, you get to this certain age that you feel like maybe you can't go, or maybe people don't want to talk to you or is desiring to you. And like I said, I'm not that old yet, but I will be. But at this time, I don't think that like I would personally be able to like think about that in that type of way or that complex way.
Yeah.
As someone who much older is, but I would like to think that I wouldn't think that way, if that makes sense. But I mean I might, but I think the whole idea of it is kind of interesting and is understandable of coming from a perspective of wanting to desire to be able to go at it again, you know what I mean, to relive stuff that you was once familiar, you know, but now it's maybe a little harder of doing, or maybe is viewed in a different way because of your age. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I get the plot. I get the understanding of and the need of the main character's desire of having the substance or trying out the substance. But it's just a little sad. And it's a little sad that it's like we put this on an older generation to maybe feel. And maybe this is, you know, growing up, I feel like maybe the older generation looks at it differently of where, like, at least from what I've seen in TV and movies, where it was more noble of being older. You know what I mean? If like you earned certain different aspects of life, you know, from that older age. But in growing in, then seeing my own grandmother who didn't like being old, you know, who like, but she was in a different generation from seeing those older films. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Viewing her in that sense where she was like, it was almost like she was disgusted at being old. You know, it was like that. And that was always a sad thing to me as well. It was like her thoughts of it was always like, of course, when I'm older in that age, I mean, when I'm now, I'm just like, oh, man, I'm old. You know what I mean? Like, as like a joke, like, I feel like that's a generic. But I think
that's the other difference, too, that this movie is presenting, is that it's not so much about just growing and being older, but like the commentary here is a bit more, not even a bit more. It is more so about the female experience, the woman experience in you know, living life as a woman, true. And then living life as an older woman who's, you know, in the eyes of like the world and social media sees you as past your prime, you know, because like even you were just about to say, like, you're probably going to take age a bit differently and maybe a bit more gracefully as someone who is getting these crazy beauty standards imposed on them, you know, and imposed on them by men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's true. Like we're going to take it a lot differently than a woman is. And that's where this movie like has its place. Like, it's here to bring commentary to that and bring light to that and you know, shed some light on like the woman experience and like just some of the crazy things that Hollywood and the world just like puts on women and put it through this lens of like body horror, which is just so ingenious. Cause
yeah,
you know, people talk about like body dysmorphia all the time, but it's like, what if body dysmorphia manifests itself as a substance?
Yes.
You know, what if body dysmorphia manifests itself as like this shameful, grotesque monster that, you know, not even a mother could love? Like, it's ingenious. Like, this movie works. It works so well. On all aspects. I want to start to talk a little bit about just kind of like the plot of the movie and like some of the things that happen, some of, you know, our favorite things. So if you haven't seen the movie, go see it.
Yeah, go see it right now.
See this movie? It's phenomenal.
I think it's going to be on Mubi. I think it's a Mubi original.
Mubi?
Mubi, yeah. You never heard of Mubi?
Yeah, I heard of Mubi. What do you mean it's a Mubi original?
Well, I don't know if it is a movie original, but I know that they funded some of it. I think the beginning credits, doesn't it have Mubi on there?
Did it? I don't remember. But if they did, that's cool. Shout out to Mubi. That's awesome. So film obviously starts with Elizabeth basically getting fired from her job. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Dennis Quaid playing her sleazy boss, very sleazily. He embodies that role. It's amazing. I love seeing him on screen because every time I see him on screen, I like cringe and recoil, but like in a way.
You can't look away. It's like, just kind of funny.
Like if I saw you in person, I'd probably be like, can you like back up? Like,
yeah.
5 feet, please. Like,
yeah. Like, you're disgusted, but you're just like.
There were like certain scenes where he even had like sweat and like he was like glistening at like parts of his face where I'm just like.
The biggest scene that stands out to me is when he's eating the shrimp.
Oh, of course. The shrimp scene is disgusting.
The shrimp scene is truly horrifying.
He's just smacking away on just these shrimp heads. And it's just like close-ups. It's nasty. I see stuff in his mouth. And I love it. It's gross.
It's probably one of the only times where I've seen food in a movie or some type of entertainment and went, I don't really want to eat that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it made you very not hungry.
Yeah.
It's specifically not hungry for shrimp.
Yeah.
Definitely not. So, yeah. So she gets fired. She gets fired from her job. And she's like, oh, what do I do? And, you know, like, she's got billboards of herself on like right outside of her apartment. And they're taking it down. They're about to take it down. So it's like, oh. You know, my once glamorous life is gone. And she gets into a car accident.
Yes.
Yeah. Gets into a car accident, ends up at the hospital. They take care of her. They're like, you know, like, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Take it easy. And she ends up getting slipped the paper from a guy who's taking care of her. And they're like, hey, call the number. It helped me. It can help you. Which I'm like, okay, ominous. Got it. Cool. She ends up taking the number and she ends up finding the place where she can get the substance, you know, and it's like this crazy dingy alleyway.
Yeah.
Which I always love when stuff like this happens in movies, when you have like great contrast of things. Very dingy, dirty alleyway opens up door, little weird door thing that doesn't even fully open. And now you're in this like super clean and like very overly lit room. Full of lockers and
yeah
stuff like that. I just think it's fun. It's just like, oh,
kind of
okay, cool.
Yeah, I had that down as something that was I thought was pretty interesting and funny was like the branding of the substance, like the whole brand, because that is technically in coming from an advertising graphic design world, that is branding to an extent of like it's secretive, but it's like rich secretive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's a luxury secretive, like.
Yeah,
this is not your back alley drug deal. This is like a back alley luxury deal. You know what I mean?
It's a luxury deal. We're doing our illegal activities in style.
Yeah, exactly. And their logo too. I looked at the logo and was like, okay, that's a pretty good logo. You know, I like that logo.
Yeah. Going on. No, it was very cool because it was just like no fuss, no mess. Just get in there, open your locker, get your stuff, and get on up out of there. I found the rules around the substance to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. So they say you've got 7 days each cycle. So first you got to do the activator. You got to activate. And then once you activate and you get your guy, then you've got 7 day on, 7 day off. You guys have to switch. And you have these baggies that are basically food substance for your other, your partner during the time that they are not in control. And then you have a stabilizer as well. I think the stabilizer is supposed to be, it wasn't a one-time thing. I think the stabilizer was like a every week thing. Like you stabilize once a week. And like you stabilize. Yeah,
it was.
You
like,
activate once forever. You stabilize once a week and you do food every day. That's what it was. Yeah. So that, with that being said, she takes the activator and some of the most insane body horror ensues after that, where Sue, who we don't know as Sue yet, literally emerges from Demi Moore's back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ugh.
I thought she just died.
I couldn't look away. You thought she was just going to die after that? I mean, yeah. And again, this is where like the film kind of needs you to suspend a bit of disbelief, because it's like, in real life, yeah, she would have bled out and died 100%. She's done. Yeah. But she didn't. She survived. And then she like, Sue has to like sew her up, her back wound up after that, which I also was like, oh,
very graphic.
So you see the needle going in and out of the skin. She does a terrible job. I don't know how that wound ended up healing after that. You know what I mean? Because I don't know how that
the human body, man.
I guess. Yep. So she does that, and then Sue, obviously being the younger version of Elizabeth, gets out there and basically just takes over Elizabeth's whole life. She easily gets Harvey to want to put her on and just acclimates herself pretty quickly. And it's just like, okay, cool. We're off to the races. But the whole catch is like, you've got 7 days on, 7 days off. You've got to feed in between. And then when you switch the 7 days, this is the part that got interesting to me, where I was like, okay, so it's not like they're the same consciousness. I thought that they were going to have the same conscious when they swapped. Like it would, like Demi Moore's character, Elizabeth, would also be Sue, even though the movie and the people in the movie keep suggesting that they are the same person. They are one. They don't have the same consciousness. So they're kind of not. It's more like,
see, I would argue that they are. I would argue that they are, but that she's more, as the younger Sue, she's more careless than she is.
No, it's more, to me, it's more like yes and no. Like, I think you have the same viewpoint as me. I think you're just not understanding what I was saying. It's like, think about it like this. Like, they're not a hive mind, you know, like if like it, and we'll get to this, but like if they are both somehow conscious at the same time, they're not a hive mind. They're not having the same.
No, she does have a different brain.
Right. The brain is different. They're like, yes, like the DNA may be similar. And maybe this would have been, if they would have somehow shown like a picture or something like that of like what she looked like when she was younger, and it did look like Margaret Qualley, then you can make that connection. But it's not necessarily necessary for the plot. Like, we don't need to. Like, we're just kind of going on about this in a more in-depth way. But maybe if they would have done that, then, you know, you could more so connect, like, her substance double as, like, oh, this is actually just the younger version of her. But I also feel like if you were to think too much about it, then they probably couldn't do that. Because then that would probably make it, you would have to suspend even more disbelief when watching the film, because then people in that world would more than likely know what Elizabeth's character, younger character, looked like when she was younger. And if a younger version just appeared, they'd be like, what? So I feel like the substance does kind of need to alter a bit, and it not, you can't really look like how you looked when you were younger, because that's going to cause more problems than solutions. So with that being said, then it brings me back to, then they can't share the same consciousness, and the substance branding is just there to help you guys not like acclimate and not be at each other's throats. Cause you really, cause really it's almost just like, it's like a more so just in your head. Like, yes, she might've been born from your DNA, but it's almost like, maybe you think of it almost like this is your kid. You know what I mean? Because okay. It's like you have a kid, and like your kid is born from your DNA, but they don't look exactly like you. Oh, I think the same thing for Sue. Like, I think when they use the substance, it's more so like, we're going to give you another version of you. But, you know, but it's kind of like, it's not you. But they're not telling you that. They're telling you it is you. But I don't believe that. Mm. You know, because so, like, things like that come into play later. So, yeah, they go back and forth, and they switch pretty seamlessly for a bit. I thought that it was interesting that was it Sue that originally built the weird little dungeon room? I think it was Sue that originally built that, not Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Sue was the one who made,
because I think it was after she came to the first time. I think she was like, all right, I need to, I think she like, maybe she like came home and like realized like this, it's just weird to have
a body laying around.
Yeah. And she built that whole thing, which is another instance of you having to kind of suspend your disbelief of like Sue being capable of doing all this on her own.
Well,
but
I mean, you know, they're smart.
Yeah.
I'm sure they can do it.
But also, you know, contractors, they know how to do that.
Yeah. And it's an apartment building. So where is she digging into? Anyways.
Wait, what?
It's an apartment complex, right?
Oh, yeah.
So is there enough space to actually do that?
That's a good ass point. Because she just like, there wasn't a room in there. Like, she just like broke down a wall and like, I'm going to stop thinking about it. Because now I'm going to really sit here and go, wow, how did that work? No. So, you know, obviously, there's going to be some problems, right? We're going to run into some, we have to have an issue here, and the issue starts to come from when the balance isn't kept, because they keep talking about the movie that you got to keep the balance, 7 days on, 7 days off, we swap, and Sue is the one that is starting to feel like she needs to have more time. She doesn't like to swap equally, and when she does, what happens is those years, that bit of life, gets taken out on Elizabeth's body, which was a really interesting touch. I liked that a lot. When they showed that, I was like, oh wow, this is cool.
Yes.
So that was kind of like the start of that, and in more instances of really, really good practical effects to come. How did you feel about the practical effects thus far?
Oh yeah, I thought they were good. You know, I think the finger, like obviously they probably used a hand model for that, but like
when they showed that first finger, you're like,
oh yeah, you're like, that looks, it's kind of decaying. I'm sure like they put probably some makeup on it, but you know, it's like
maybe just a little bit of makeup.
It just looked like it was gonna, like, if you touched it and you just bent it a little bit, it was gonna break, pop off.
Yeah. It was pretty decrepit. So that just continues, right? She just keeps on going. Sue just keeps on wanting to take more and more and more, and as that happens, you know, it's very interesting, because it's like she's in her mind reclaiming her youth, and I guess if they're one, then Elizabeth is also reclaiming her youth, but at what cost? The cost is of your regular body, your first body. Your body is now becoming much, much more older and decrepit, which is wild, because that was the very thing that made you make this choice to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very interesting thing to see that, and to see how even in the face of this super nasty negative thing happening to you, that you know was going to continue to happen, and the substance hotline asks her, like, do you want to stop? she's like, no.
No, I don't want to.
Which is, oh my God, it's crazy because it's that societal pressure. It's that pressure she has to want to continue to live a life, even if she isn't the one physically living it. Just like that thought of knowing that she's living a life that is, you know, in her mind, possibly better than the life that she's mm-hmm. had. You know, it's very interesting.
There's a scene in that sequence of like her going through that. It's after the decrepit finger scene mm-hmm. with that one old high school friend
yeah.
that she runs into who yeah. asks her out on a date. And then she reaches out to him and wants to go on a date with him. The makeup scene is what I call
yes,
it.
Yes, the makeup scene.
It was very sad. I'm not trying to be downplaying any of this, like, oh, it's a sad, like this is, it is sad to an extent of like where people probably also go through this in real life.
Right.
But it just is kind of like, man, like this character is not like a terrible looking person. They don't look old and decrepit, and they don't look like, you know, they can't have a natural fine life outside of, you know, film and Hollywood and whatnot.
Right.
But she's restricting herself mentally. And that's what I think was more sad, was that she's put this mental block on her mind that she can't have a fulfilling life after the glitz and the glamour, or that the glitz and the glamour is what made her life more desirable, if that makes sense. And in a lot of way, Hollywood does that, you know, and a lot of film and entertainment does that. But there's plenty of people who have fine lives outside of that, you know what I mean? So I think that scene, that sequence of her going through that, not ultimately reaching out to the guy, but then standing him up because she thinks that she can't fulfill what he has already claimed to her is like mm-hmm. a desire of just even just getting, being able to talk to her.
And it's interesting that you point that out too, because something that I noticed as well is that for her, she really was looking for, I believe she was looking for just people to love and appreciate her for who she is now. Not so much who she was when she was younger, you know, when she was more hot or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But like who she is now, who is a fantastic person. And even that nice man that she knew from her past was still holding her in that spot.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying like, wow, it's so nice to meet you. Or I mean, it's so nice to see you. And you know, like you're looking good. And he didn't even have to necessarily say that, because even that is a bit indicative of like, oh, I know what you used to look like. And like, you know, like it was just very clear that he was very stuck on like this idea of her from his past, from their past, and how she holds up to that now.
Yeah.
Which is that pressure. You're putting that pressure on her to be that. And maybe she isn't that, and that's okay. Maybe she doesn't feel like she is, and that's okay. But that's like, no one ever gives that to her in this film, which I do agree is sad. But that I think, you know, obviously we're not living it, but I think that is a bit of the woman experience and the beauty of this film and scenes like that. Very interesting to see. And then, you know, then you get the horror aspect of it, of her, you know, feeling so overwhelmed with like, I can't get it right. I can't be myself. I can't figure out how to, you know, put the right amount of makeup on, the right amount of lipstick on. So I'm just taking it all off. And she's just
rubbing her face.
Oh my God. And I was just sitting in my chair, just like gripping the seats from just like, please, please don't rip off your skin of your face.
That's
please.
What I was thinking too. Mm-hmm. I was so afraid that.
Oh that my God. I was like, I was ready for it. Now eyes glued. Like I'm watching, like waiting for it to happen. And it didn't happen. I'm kind of glad that it didn't happen, to be honest. Like it would have been really cool, but I was just like, oh my God. Whew. She didn't rip her skin off. That was still traumatic.
Yeah.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I was like, please, please don't.
Yeah, so it just a very, that was a very, very effective scene. But yeah, so we go through the rest of the film, and there was one moment in the film towards the middle point that I will say, I've got two gripes with this film.
Okay.
Before we get more into like the ending and our final thoughts. Two gripes. Excuse me. First gripe is that there's a scene towards the middle where we meet this older man in a diner, and he's all like, "Hey, are you liking the substance?"
Yeah.
And you know, Elizabeth's kind of like, "What the frick are you, man? What's going on here?" Realizing, "Oh, you're the guy that I met the younger version of when we did the hospital guy." I'm like, "Okay, interesting." And then he just is like, it's never equal. They never balance it out. And he just disappears. That's it. That's it. We don't see that guy ever again. And I do understand that, like, a lot of horror movies, if you ever noticed this, a lot of horror movies follow this kind of formula where you get presented a problem, and maybe it's an entity, you know, a ghost, a slasher man, some sort of thing that is opposing you, and you know, like your antagonist. Obviously, you're presenting your antagonist, you're presenting your problem, and at some point in almost every horror movie, you get to the middle point, and you usually meet some person who has either already encountered this thing, or has some sort of prior knowledge to this thing, and they are trying to help you to defeat said thing. And that's what I feel like that scene was, but he didn't really help her do anything. He just told us what we already were finding out, which was that things aren't equal, and they be taking more of your life, and is it really worth it? And that was it. So, like, I feel like that scene probably didn't need to be there, just because it really didn't add much. It didn't help her situation in any way. My other gripe is that you get to the point to where Sue is taking way more time than she should, and it's making Elizabeth's body decay crazily.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. I kept thinking in my head the whole time, I was like, why? Because the whole thing is that you need to take spinal fluid. Like, Sue has to take spinal fluid from Elizabeth once a week to stabilize. That's how she stabilizes. And that's like supposed to be, you know, kind of like the rejuvenation of like her, so she doesn't also decay. I've always wondered, why does it not work the other way around? Why can't Elizabeth take the spinal fluid of Sue, who is the younger version of herself, to revitalize herself and make herself not be so decayed and falling apart?
You know, I guess I just never thought about that. I think that the reason why that Sue had to stabilize more is because she is more of an artificial person. You know, she isn't really like, she's not a child.
Biologically
Yes. I know, like you mentioned, she's a child of that version, but she's not really. She's like, in a lot of ways, she's like a cancer cell to an extent. You know what I mean? Like, the cancer, it's a mutation. And that mutation has to survive, that parasite to an extent has to survive off of the original person.
That's a good way to think about it. And I don't think I was thinking about it in that way before. So I'm glad that you brought that up and gave me your point on that.
Yeah.
I don't think I was thinking about it.
Yeah. That's how I looked at it and saw it, was like, of course the original is not going to have to be stabilizing herself because she's not the one who is.
Well, it's not so much that I wanted her to have to stabilize. It's more so I was thinking like, oh, in this situation where I'm now becoming even more of an older, decrepit version of myself because of my younger self, maybe I should try this out. Like, maybe I should try to use their spinal fluid to stabilize, quote unquote, stabilize, and hope, and see if it rejuvenates me in any way.
Well, does Sue generate that spinal fluid then? Because I don't think they ever talk about it like that.
I would imagine that Sue has spinal fluid as human.
Obviously.
You know, like that was just all that I was thinking about, you know, and still listening to how you described what you said. I do think that makes sense from that perspective, and maybe I can rescind that gripe. Maybe I can.
Well, I mean, it's your own opinion. Like, I'm not, you can have your own opinion.
I don't know. I'm still just like under the thought process of I wish you would. Why not try it? Try it. But it's one of those things where it's like, this isn't me necessarily having a gripe with like the script or like how the film was written. You know how sometimes you want to argue with characters in a movie. You know,
well, I definitely wanted to argue with,
especially
time.
In horror films when you're like, dude, stop it. Do not go in that attic, you dumbass. You know what I mean? Like it's like that where it's like, I love this movie. I think it's phenomenally written and phenomenally acted, directed, shot, edited, everything. Makeup team phenomenal, like special effects team phenomenal. Like I love this film. So I'm not knocking on them by any means for that. I'm more so just like, come on, Elizabeth. Why would you not think to try using her spinal fluid? Maybe think outside the box a little bit.
Well,
like,
that also,
you were very quick to defeat there. Like,
yeah.
You were just like, you called the people and they basically told you respect the balance and she'll respect the balance, which is a wild thing to say.
Yeah.
No, dude, no. I don't think many people would respect the balance. Like, imagine if you were Sue. If you were this thing that was just brought into this world and you just had...
Oh, yeah, I would want my own agency.
Yeah, I'd be like, F you, dude. Balance what? I'm gone. Bye. Yeah.
But I think that also argues back of, like, you know, we're looking at Elizabeth's character. It's like, one, she's a lot older. She's a lot more understanding. A lot more wiser.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, maybe in her own right, in her own thought process, if she tries to take it from her, she's like, well, I'm still going to be this age. I'm still going to be old. Like, people are still going to remember me as this older character, this older person, you know? So why would I still want to do that? Because I feel like that's also the same, what you're arguing of the movie is like, you know, it's a redo, like Sue's character is a redo of her entire life to an extent, but like she just gets a second chance at it. You know what I mean? So it's like she's like able to live out what she once had, but right. Why would she want to be reminded that she is still that same person? You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
No, I get what you're saying. I definitely get what you're saying. So moving on a bit, getting more towards the finale of the film, because obviously they keep going back and forth, and you know, you've got Elizabeth trying to retaliate by like eating a bunch of food, and then you have this really gross scene of Sue pulling a chicken wing out of her belly button.
Yeah, I forgot about this.
I thought that was kind of wild. It's like, okay, when that happened, I kept thinking to myself, I was like, can I do that? Like, have we all just had this ability to reach into our bodies through our belly buttons, and we just know?
I think that was more like dream-like sequence than that. I don't think.
But I mean, what the hell is this thing? What is this thing?
Well, the belly button is like,
what is it?
You know, when you're in your, you know, I'm not going to biologically, like, I'm not going to get into all that, but like, you know, it connects, it feeds you, you know what I mean? Like, it feeds you.
Yeah, but it's not connected. So what's it there
for? It's not anymore, no. I imagine it heals, and that's it. So
I feel like I can stick my hand in there.
Well, yeah, you can stick your hand, not into your entire stomach, no.
I thought I can. I'm going to try one day.
Okay.
But anyway, so she sticks her hand in there. She gets out a little chicken wing. It's really gross.
Was it a chicken wing or is it a drumstick?
In my head, chicken wing, drumstick, same thing. She gets a drumstick, pulls it out, and we get to the point to where Sue's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm taking all of it all the time. And she basically like lets all of her like backup food go out. And like, I think it even lasted a little bit after that.
Yeah, it lasted for a couple months. I think 3 months or something.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. And she was just like not getting more food for her and would just kept jacking her spinal fluid to stabilize herself because she was going to go down if she didn't. And it was just, oh God, every time she kept getting into that hole.
I can't think of it.
Injection hole. Oh yes. God.
It got worse. It just got
worse and worse and grosser. And I loved every
second. In my opinion, it was like, if I was Sue, if I would just notice that was still getting like worse, I would feel like, yeah, this doesn't look right. You know,
right. Like maybe I need to not do this anymore, but she kept doing it. Excuse me. She kept doing it until eventually Elizabeth had to come back. And when she did, oh God.
Got a hunchback in Notre Dame.
She looked insane. The makeup team there, the prosthetics that they put on her were wild. She just looked insane. She just looked like really gone and just like a husk of her older self. And it was sad. It was sad to see that. And not only that, but like to have her walk out and again in her apartment. She's got this huge poster of herself. And then she's outside of her apartment window. She's got this huge billboard of Sue living her life. And just like, oh my God, like the contrast between those two. I'm just like, that sucks. That's sad. I get it, man. And I'm trying to remember what was the thing that Sue then does that turned her into the grotesque monster. Cause she made it.
Oh, the final thing?
Yeah. Like,
oh, well, that's the final sequence. The final. So if we're thinking of that, like, you know, Demi Moore is now this hunchback looking like golem looking thing.
Yeah, so then what does Sue do to
Well, they fight. Like, Demi Moore wants to then... She finally has had enough. She
killed her.
And she then, finally had enough. She wants to get rid of the substance.
Yeah.
She tries to kill her, but then Demi Moore realizes that this is still the only way that she is somehow experiencing life is through Sue. So she brings her back with a blood transfusion. And this is where the movie kind of gets that they're the same person, but not the same person kind of mixed up. And I think is where you're getting the most is because they both regain consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then Sue like just beats the hell out of her. So,
yeah.
And ultimately kind of kills her, I think is what it is.
I think so too.
And then Sue tries to go then to live her life. And then like her body parts are falling out, like her teeth falls out. Like, you know, like I think her hair falls off or something like that.
Yeah, because since she's killed her original person, she can't get any substance from her.
So she runs back to she thinks that if she does the substance again, that it's going to make a better version of herself.
And then that's what it was. She used the bit of the activator. She activated herself.
Yes.
Which is a wild man. What a wild thought. You were the byproduct of the activator, and now the activator is trying to activate itself, and in doing so, she creates
that monster has a name.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it is.
No, I have it here. It's Monstro Elixasui.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yep. Monstro. We'll call her Monstro.
Monstro,
and it was disgusting.
Isn't it Elixasui? Is that what is more so like?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. That bourbon's really hitting you.
Bourbon's really hitting me. It really is. Yeah. Monstro. Sorry. People who are tuning in and don't know, I've been drinking this thing of bourbon.
For two episodes.
We recorded two episodes today, and this is episode two. And Ian's already drinking his, and he's acting like he's just peachy keen.
Uh-huh.
Good time over there. Meanwhile, I'm over here fighting for my life.
Yeah, I think the reason why I drink so fast is because I want to make sure that I regain my thought.
Yeah.
So that's, but I do just drink fast in general.
Drink fast in general. Well, that's okay. But back to it though. So Monstro's, I loved this whole sequence because it's like this really nasty, grotesque, like amalgamation of body parts and flesh.
Yeah.
And like you've got boobies going this way and Demi Moore's face on like
a back shoulder. Yeah. That was the craziest part.
Oh my God. It was so beautifully done. It was so beautifully done. And I love the touch of like, oh my God, Sue has to do this New Year's Eve special. And she gets to the network and it's like she puts on a picture of Elizabeth's face from like when she was a bit younger, I guess.
It was younger.
Yeah, she puts on the picture of her face. And just like it's just like taped on this grotesque monster's face. And she gets to the studio and everybody's like, oh my God, you're here. We got to get you on. Come on, let's go. And it's just like, okay. You guys don't notice this creature behind here? No one notices this creature? Just very, very interesting stuff. And then she gets on stage. And probably the most insane sequence of this film occurs when I think it's like her arm gets like either is it get ripped off or it falls off.
It's one of the two. Yeah, I don't remember.
And it just starts to spray blood over the entire studio audience. And an obscene amount of blood. Like it's like B movie horror levels of blood. But it was so fun. I loved it. It's just like spraying all over everybody. Ah, people were freaking out. We had some funny crash zooms when people realized that it was a monster, which I thought was really funny. Or just like, ah, people were screaming.
Yeah, people fainting and stuff like that.
Fainting and stuff. Oh, my God. Just incredible, incredible, incredible. Just, I love that. I know there were a lot of people that felt like that part of the movie was where it was like, they drew the line there, and I'm like, this is where
you're going. No, I think that's what they were ultimately going to.
Yeah, I'm like, draw the line at a little blood fountain? Come on now. We saw a lady fall out of someone's back. You draw the line at someone pulled a chicken leg out of their belly button. You're drawing the line at blood fountain?
Yeah.
Come on now. It was incredible. It was incredible. And I think, what was it that she ran out of there? I'm pretty sure she ran out of there.
Well, she like gets her head popped off, right? And then she grows another head.
She grows another head. It's really gross. It's such a gross sequence. And she just runs out of there. And like her body just kind of like congeals, or not even congeals, the wrong word.
Becomes like a jelly.
It like melts into like a weird substance.
Yeah.
A substance with a face that's like, somehow, and it's Demi Moore's face, and it's like somehow moving its way across the pavement to get to Elizabeth's star on the Walk of Fame, which we didn't mention this in the beginning, but she has a Walk of Fame, she has a star, and there was a cool sequence of showing like over time, like the kind of like the damage that gets done to that star, and like all that juxtaposition was just very cool. So we bring it full circle. Substance, Demi Moore's face gets on top of the star. And she has this moment where she's feeling a bit blissful, I guess, of like, I'm here, I'm on my star, and, you know, I'm important, and life is good or was good. And then she just melts away into faceless substance. Mm-hmm. And the next day the little Zamboni guy comes across and just washes away that substance like it was never there, and that's it. That's just what we're left with. Like, there's no fallout, there's no, you know, what happens after that, because that is it. That was the end. That was the end of her experience.
I think going back to with the monster, Montrosis, or whatever, the monster form of both Sue and Elizabeth, was you're mentioning she carves out a picture of the old face of Elizabeth Demi Moore's character, a younger version of her. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of was like, when I was watching this, it was kind of like that thought process was like, man, like they ultimately, this being went back to their initial state of being, I am Elizabeth. You know what I mean? Like, because it was like Elizabeth and Sue had this power struggle of like, who's the, like the more important, who's the real one, who's going to be the more desirable. But Elizabeth still wanted to still be Elizabeth.
Right.
You know, but she just wanted to be younger and have more youth, be more desired.
Oh yeah. That's the themes of the movie on full display. It's just,
I know. I just think it was just beautifully done. And the same thing with the ending sequence where she goes back to the star.
Yeah.
Like it just was, just the, it was really well written in that sense of they still want to be this person, even though like they want to be a different person. Like it is still them. Like it is still, no matter what, it's still who they are.
You know? Right.
And there might not even be realizing the right. character might not.
She took a journey of self-acceptance. And yeah. and I think by the end of it, I think she did finally, as a bodiless substance goo, she did accept herself as who she was and then gets washed away to be forever forgotten by
popular the world. Culture.
And, yeah, the society, the things that she held in such high regard, which, you know, was the commentary of the film, and in essence, and it's just like the movie ends and it leaves you with that, and you're just like, wow, okay, I get it. That's, yeah, that was great. You just can't help but admire how beautifully that was all just transcribed on the film.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very deep. Looking at film, I feel like in the past few films that we've seen and we've talked about on the show, I feel like this one has been probably the most deep mm-hmm. and most layered. You know, I think you can maybe argue Romulus had some pretty deep meaning, but even then, still, it was still pretty much a blockbuster popcorn flick.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with those, but
no, not at all.
But it's also really awesome when you see a movie where a director had something to say and knew how they wanted to say it, and then they just executed that perfectly. Everybody fired off on all cylinders perfectly. Shout out again to, you know, the cast and crew, the cast especially. Mm-hmm. Everyone did phenomenal.
Yeah,
agreed. This was a great movie. So go see it. If you guys haven't seen it,
go watch it.
Go watch it. You'll enjoy it.
Movie.
That's a movie that I can't wait to get to streaming so I can watch it again.
It's going to be on Mubi. So if you have
it on Mubi, okay. Yeah, check it out on Mubi. And yeah, so I guess with that, we can start to wrap up here. If you don't have anything else, how would you sum up, wrap up this fantastic film? Because I know how I would.
This is 7-day substance, but used in the correct way.
But that makes sense. 7-day substance, but we abide by the rules.
By the rules.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. I think I'm gonna have to rate this one just a well deserved blood shower.
Yeah,
so that's well, a good one. Well deserved. Zala's people were a holes.
Yeah, they were.
For objectifying and subjecting poor Elizabeth to all that nonsense.
Especially,
so you deserve Quaid. A little blood.
Yeah, Dennis, you know? Quaid's character was funny. I especially like the final scene we see him. Besides him getting sprayed by blood, but like,
yeah,
he comes up with all these like executives, and they're just like, they're acting like little children. It just was so funny.
So they're weird. Like, you got know, a like, smile.
Like they're giddy. They're like giddy and jumping. Like I think one of the characters like clicks his heels like a little leprechaun guy.
Yeah.
It just was funny. It was
super over the top.
It was movie. It was good. It was really well done. Really well written.
Please go see this movie, guys, if you haven't seen it. Yeah. You know, but I hope you guys liked this podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Had a good time. We definitely had a good time. But that's going to be it for us today. So we're going to let you guys go. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you back again here next time. So thank you guys. We're out.
Yes. Once again, like and subscribe.
Yeah.
That to our YouTube.
Yeah.
For our video and clips and whatnot. Follow us on Instagram at Realhead. What is it? Realheads Media, I believe.
Yes.
And then besides that, if you just want to catch our audio podcast, we are on any podcast streaming platform that has it. So subscribe to that. And then just follow us on wherever you can follow us. Marquez has his own thing going on.
Yeah. Mark on YouTube.
Yep.
M-A-R-Q exclamation point. YouTube. Yeah. Check me out. Movie commentaries, the works. You know what it is. You don't. If you haven't seen
it. If you don't, then you don't.
If you don't, then you don't, but you're going to know. Check me out. Mark on YouTube.
Thank you once again. Like and subscribe. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.